What would you do if your online store converted 36% more shoppers? You could take 36% more vacation.
Another pina colada?
Yes, please.
Open a new retail location with 36% more square feet.
Fantastic.
Hire 36% more help.
You're hired and you're hired.
Shopify has the world's best converting checkout, up to 36% better than other e-commerce platforms. What you do with those extra sales is up to you. Switch to Shopify today at shopify.com/setup and get a $1 trial. Shopify.com/setup.
Off the ball. GAA.
You know, people had spoken about the freeze coming off him. Would that affect him? Not an ounce. Water off the duck's back. And I think that people maybe overhyped that a lot throughout the league because, you know, Aiden was going so well and maybe Aaron wasn't getting that feed of ball. You see when you put ball into that man what he can do with it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The final whistle
on Off the Ball
with NoviBet. Up to 250% boost on all accas. Download and play today. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Well, finishing the Premier League this afternoon, Chelsea 0, Manchester City 3. Pretty convincing victory from Manchester City with Nico O'Reilly, Mark Gehi and Jeremy Doku all chipping in with the goals. Doku's only his second goal in the Premier League this season. And then two defenders. They didn't even need Erling Haaland to join in with the goal scoring this afternoon. And I suppose it just goes to show you how impressive a win it was for Manchester City today.
Yeah, impressive is a word I would use. I thought they were excellent. The first 45 minutes was very competitive. Chelsea were right in it. But when Andre Santos lets Nico O'Reilly run off the back of him and doesn't quite get a hold of him, doesn't quite address the ball, it's just little moments within the game where you're thinking that can't happen in that situation. And it's just little mistake after little mistake. I'm not even the Doku goal when Sanchez throws it into Casado. You're thinking, what's the pros of throwing that ball in there? Why are you doing that? Manchester City want to pressure. They want to get after you. You're already two goals down and playing that ball into midfield when your midfielder's going to get jumped on. I'm just not sure you're connecting the dots in your head of what might happen there or what you're expecting the player to do when you give him the ball. The only thing Casado probably could have done was bounce it back to the goalkeeper. And then I would ask the question again, why are you giving it to him if all he can do is bounce it back to you? I'm not too sure. Chelsea have a way that they like to go about it. They want to play open, expansive football. But I'm just not sure about this Chelsea team. And I'm not sure about Liam Rossini as an elite manager.
Yeah, because I suppose he took a very pragmatic approach to the game today in that he went, as we mentioned in the commentary, with that. It was a back five essentially because Andre Santos was dropping from midfield in between the two centre halves, and they did really well because it cut off the space out wide for the wingers for Manchester City, and they were really struggling to break down that Chelsea defence. So you're kind of thinking they needed to maybe kind of keep that going for the first 5 or 10 minutes of the second half. Then they conceded a couple of quick corners. And once that first goal went in, it did look like their heads just went really, Chelsea, didn't it?
Yeah,
their discipline went.
That was something that I looked at from a Chelsea point of view and thought, okay, the Nico O'Reilly goal, well-worked move, could have defended it better, but how are you going to react now? What have you just got in the locker? You've gone behind to a big team, and they seem to just roll over and show their bellies and go, yeah, look, we don't have the belly for this type of fight. We don't have the guts. We'll just roll over. Not what you want to see. I'm sure Chelsea fans will be thinking, why is Enzo Fernandez sitting behind the bench when he's fully fit and able to play? Would he have brought a little bit more bite and a little bit more passion to the middle of the park? Possibly. Hindsight's a wonderful thing. I understand why Liam Rossini and Chelsea have taken the stance that they've taken on him. But when you've got a big team coming to town and you're fighting for Champions League football, you play your best players. And for me, I wouldn't go as far to say it was an idiotic decision, but it's cutting your nose off to spite your face, and you want your best players on the park. And Andre Santos is a player who gives away a goal. If that was Enzo Fernandez, possibly he's a little bit cuter in that situation.
Yeah, I said in the preview ahead of the game that it felt like that a manager of the experience of Liam Rossini, he assisted Wayne Rooney at Derby County before taking the Hull City job, then went to Chelsea's sister club, Strasbourg. Then he gets offered the Chelsea job. I kind of feel he was in a situation where he kind of had to take it,
yeah,
because if he had turned it down, it wasn't really, you know, those Strasbourg bosses or his Chelsea bosses. He had to kind of take it. But he really went in at the deep end. He does look like he's out of his depth a bit. Depending on what reports you read, it does seem like the Chelsea top brass will stick with him for next season. Do you think he's good enough?
No. Like some of the stuff he's talking about as well. Like we can talk about stuff off the pitch. I know he brought a player on, brought him off later in the game. The respect the ball stuff. I'm just not sure about him at all. And I think that the Chelsea players are looking at him and thinking exactly the same, that they're not quite sure. Some of the stuff he's coming out with in press conferences as well, I don't know whether he's just trying to be too clever, you know. And you know, there's certain times where you just think, get the ball from back to front really quickly and go from there. But I know they want to have this open, expansive style of play, sexy style of play. Manchester City have been the best footballing team in the Premier League for a good number of years now. And if you want to go toe-to-toe with them, you need to be exceptional in possession. Chelsea aren't exceptional. They're good. They're very good at times, but they're not exceptional. And out of possession, there's still an awful lot to be desired. But it's hard to have any sort of traction with Chelsea because 6, 7, 8 of those players will leave in the summer, and then 6 or 7, 8 will come in. And I just don't understand. Like, Jamie Giddens leaves, Garnacho comes in, Conor Gallagher leaves, another centre midfielder comes in. It's just change for the sake of change. You know, it's not, oh, well, he's leaving and we brought in a better player. It's very similar players leaving, very similar players coming in. And look, I get the American owner wants a certain type of business, but I don't think that's the type of business that can give you success in the Premier League. When you think of Arsenal starting 11, Manchester City starting 11, we could probably name 9 out of 11 without even looking at the teams. With Chelsea, it's sort of, God knows. We've got one or two that we know they'll play. The back three, other than Marc Cucurella, I think the other three aren't good enough. The goalkeeper, you know, Robert Sanchez, he can make saves, but ball at his feet, decision making is not quite there. And when you've got a goalkeeper like that, I think that just reverberates through the whole team. And first 45 minutes they defended quite well in the five. Second 45 minutes I was worried whether they would be able to defend like that again, and they've proven they couldn't.
Yeah, that Doku goal, it was a brutal decision to play that ball out to Caicedo, who was under pressure from the off. Just quickly on Chelsea, so I suppose their two targets now, between now and the end of the season, 6 games left in the Premier League. Excuse me. Try and close the gap on Liverpool, who are now 4 points ahead of them in that race for the last Champions League place and to win the FA Cup. They play Leeds in the semi-final at Wembley. That's not an easy game for Chelsea. Would you fancy them to meet those two targets?
Well, I think that Leeds game is a must-win. And I know we can all say, oh, well, Leeds are a good team, but if Chelsea go and lose that semi-final to Leeds, the Chelsea fans are not going to be happy. So they're not involved in any title race. They're not going to get any silverware. If they nick Champions League football, then maybe that's enough for them. But I don't see them getting better. I'm not looking here thinking, do you know what, I'm happy with what I'm seeing. And next season, after Liam Rossini's had a bit more time with these players, they're going to kick on. I don't expect them to kick on, which is probably the most worrying thing. And again, with Liam Rossini's probably thinking, okay, Garnacho next season, Joao Pedro, a whole host of them players will leave. So how you start to think about next season and put building blocks in place and how you're going to play, it's all just a little bit all over the place. And like I say, with the off the stuff issues and the way the club is being ran, I think there's a real ceiling to what Chelsea can do, and that ceiling probably is Champions League football.
I thought you made a very salient point when you were talking to John ahead of the game about the two signings in January improving the City team, and that is of course bringing Semenyo and Gehi. They really have made them a better side. And you also have said about them getting better as the season goes on. Excuse me. I thought the manner of their celebrations, especially last week against Liverpool, you could see they're thinking, this is on for us now, lads. We can win a treble here. They're now breathing down Arsenal's necks. 6 points behind them, game in hand. A game against Arsenal next week. They really could win the treble, couldn't they, from this situation? They've got the League Cup already in the bag. They've got Southampton in the FA Cup semi-final.
It's not a bad season, is it? You could be in with a treble, but yet this is a bad season for Manchester City. I think it's just a sign of them. I know people are saying, I'm obviously an Arsenal fan, and people are saying Arsenal have to win the league from here. I'm willing to concede with the points and everything else and the games left. You would imagine that Arsenal will have enough to get enough points on the board to be able to win it. But I've got to be honest, I'm very, very fearful, and I'm looking over my shoulder. I think City will do it. I have to be honest, and that's maybe me being pessimistic as an Arsenal man, but I think City will go and win the league. I think they could easily go and win a treble. The Champions League, getting knocked out by Real Madrid is no, you know, that's nothing to throw the toys out of pram about. Madrid are a very, very strong European team. If they win the Premier League and go and pick up 2 domestic trophies, got to take that. And would that tempt Pep Guardiola into staying for another year and think, this was supposed to be a team in transition, we've just done a treble, could I do it again and chuck the Champions League into it next season? Possibly, but from an Arsenal point of view, I'm very worried. I think Arsenal are going to come up short on all fronts here still.
Yeah, because and they've improved that goal difference as well. There's only three goals. Arsenal plus 38, City plus 35. And again, that game next week, like we'll have it live and off the ball next Sunday. City at home to Arsenal. And like you would be kind of thinking that's a game that City should win.
Yeah, I think when you're looking at it here, you're thinking City will probably go and win that. But again, as an Arsenal fan, I'm looking and thinking that could be a real nil all the way through. Could easily be defined by a set piece. And we all know how strong Arsenal are from set pieces. But through open play, I think Cherki has the most assists now from open play. Haaland, I think, has 7 assists from open play. So you've got Semenyo, Haaland, Cherki, Doku, Reinders comes to the party as well. They've got so many options they can hurt you with. Whereas Arsenal look quite limited from open play. It looks like it's going to be a set piece or, you know, something along those lines that Arsenal will score from. But from open play, City look irresistible at the minute, and it's very, very hard to back anybody against Manchester City at the minute.
Certainly is a lot of excitement ahead. Just on Arsenal's North London rivals, because before our game and off the ball, we did of course have the Spurs Sunderland match at the Stadium of Light. Spurs losing by a goal to nil. De Zerbi's first game in charge. And looking at the league standings now, Tottenham 30 points. They're 2 away from safety. West Ham 32, Forest 33, Leeds 33. Can De Zerbi rescue them, or do you think it's looking like they're going down to the Championship?
I think they're standing still. West Ham aren't standing still. Forest aren't standing still. And even Leeds play Manchester United tomorrow. They don't look like they're standing still. I think Spurs are really, really in trouble here and have a good chance of going down. And Spurs fans that I speak to always keep saying, yeah, I am worried, but we'll have enough, we'll stay up. It's not in your hands anymore. If West Ham go and win every game from now till the end of the season and Leeds and Nottingham Forest, Spurs are going down. So Spurs have got to do something here in the last couple of games. Will that happen under De Zerbi? I know his track record when he first goes into clubs isn't great, doesn't generally get a bounce. It takes a while for his teams to get a bit of traction. They don't have time. They really don't have time now. And when you look at the players that they have, they shouldn't be in this position. But a lot of those players probably have their mind on the World Cup already and thinking they'll have agents, they'll have people in their ear saying, well, if they do go down, it doesn't affect you because you'll get a move. That's not what they need. And a lot of those players are playing like they already have a move in their back pocket. Mm-hmm. And Spurs fans won't want to hear that. But that's what my eyes are telling me when I watch them, that they're banging a relegation battle, but the players don't look like they are, which is very, very worrying. And as we stand here, Stephen, I'd expect them to go down, I have to be honest. I think West Ham look a better proposition. Nottingham Forest look like they'll have enough in the locker, and even Leeds look like they have enough. So Spurs should be very, very worried at the minute.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's certainly a lot of twists and turns to come in this Premier League season, both at the bottom and at the top. But of course, next week on Off the Ball on News Talk, we'll have for you the Merseyside Derby. That's a big game as well. Two teams chasing Champions League football. And after that, myself and Brian Kerr will be at the Etihad Stadium for Manchester City versus Arsenal. So join us next week on Off the Ball from 1 o'clock.
The final whistle on Off the Ball with NoviBet. Up to 250% boost on all Accas. Download and play today. 18 plus, see gamblingcare.ie. Off the Ball, GAA.
You know, people had spoken about the freeze coming off him. Would that affect him? Not an ounce. Water off a duck's back. And I think that people maybe overhyped that a lot throughout the league because, you know, Aiden was going so well and maybe Aaron wasn't getting that feed of ball. You see when you put ball into that man, what he can do with it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.